last time. We're talking about the millennial, a subject that's greatly mentioned in Scripture, but not talked about. And if you want to hear this word, misinformation out there, this is the subject of misinformation and wrong teaching for sure, without a doubt. Tribulation, and that's just a small part of church history. There's a period of time here, but the millennial is 1,000 years. And so I kind of broke it down into three groups, kind of recap what the purpose is, the structure, and people. And we get into this more in the weeks. You'll be able to put, oh, that verse, put it in here. Now you know who they are, what the purpose is. So that's kind of like the Bible fits together real nicely once you do this. And the only way to understand the millennial is to rightly divide the word. If you don't rightly divide it, you're done. And that's the problem with a lot of churches, seminaries, they ain't got a clue about these passages. And I'll show you how important they are, and I'll spend a little time today, because I'm going to ask a question about it, about us. The first, right here, the millennial inheritance. That's us. So here we are, purpose, we're going to be part of the millennial inheritance. We'll be working in a structure here. It'll be theocracy. And then we'll be able to see what born believers are going to have. So you kind of plug in each person, and maybe you'll learn some things here. Some of these things, when it comes to the people, this I think is pretty, thus saith the Lord. Some of the people group here, you know, there are some things that, you know, it seems like, I'm saying, thus saith the Lord on it. You do your own study verses, but it does seem like there's some things going on here that are pretty encouraging, but yet pretty convicting, okay? So just to give you a little recap, the purpose, Jesus Christ, King of King, praise the Lord, millennial inheritance for the believers, Jews get the kingdom, the land back, God says something, glory to God, he's going to do it, okay? Structure, theocracy, people, you know, look, the average person today, it's going to be the same thing going on today as it is back then. They ain't got a clue. You understand? That's not going to happen. You know, the curse of the earth is lifted. You know, renew ordinances. Look at 8 chapters of Ezekiel, building temple up again. You know, you can see that structure is changing. And then I'm going to cover today the people group. I don't think I'm ever going to get through this today. I'm going to try to get much I can. It could be complicated, but I'm going to keep it as simple as possible. And I'll show the people group here that are in the millennial. And then it's my turn to teach Lord Terry's. I'm going to get some of this stuff a little more deeper. You're going to say, that's pretty cool. There's a lot in the Bible about this, in Psalms and Proverbs and Ezekiel and Isaiah. A lot of this is for, you know, people focus, think that we're the main focus, us believers. I'll show you how that kind of, you know, God provided a lamb during a sinful time. And I'm glad we're part of it. Amen. You know, praise the Lord. But it's about him and kingdoms and thrones. And we'll kind of get into that as time goes on. Okay. So what's interesting is somebody asked me here, how about the believers reigning, inheritance, rewards, and crowns? That's a great question. There's a lot on that. And I'm going to try to cover a little bit about that today. And it'll kind of go right into the 6 people groups here. And this is important because why? You ought to know this. I mean, this is pretty important doctrine. And you know what, though? You ought to know what's going to happen here to you, what your plans are. I mean, you know, you wouldn't just get in your car and just drive out to California. You have a little map, how you can get there, you're going to stop. We have the millennial rain coming here. What's going to happen? The Bible gives you scriptures. You got to kind of look for it and study it out. But you know what, though? It's right here. So you know what's... And by the way, understanding what I'm going to cover today will affect your motive. I guarantee it. It'll affect your life for the Lord. I guarantee it. The reason why we have, I think, Christianity is in its a decay, Laodicea. They don't understand this. You don't get it at your average Bible church, a charismatic, Pentecostal, the fundamentals. Fundamentals have no clue about this at all. That's why you'll get only about thick, you know, you'll get a little bit salvation, and they have a little box. I think Pastor Hoffman, if you have watched him one time, he has a classic example. He puts this box on his head, and it has fundamentalist on the side. And he's taught, and they're in a little box. They're in a little box, and they're afraid to come out of the box. And here there is a little box on her head. He's talking. It's kind of funny, but sometimes a picture or a thousand words. Get out of the box, okay? Because they can't. This doesn't fit into their little box. It fits into the Bible. And the motivation, I don't know what the motivation is. Well, then I would, where I went to school was wrong, or I thought was wrong, and it's a pride. Or their income, one of the two. So, you know, we're Bible believers, you know. King James, rightly dividing. We should have freedom and liberty. Look at this. And some of this year, it seems like. So, they had a comment. Okay. So, look here for example here. This is probably pretty common for you guys. But look at Luke chapter 19 here. A question I ask is, how about reigning, inheritance, rewards? So, this is right here, us. And the first people group here, which I'll get into a little bit here. And in Luke 19, I think you guys, starting in verse 12, says, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent the message after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And a second came, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound which I have kept laid in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an abstinent man. Thou takest up that thou hast, that liest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an astute man, taking up that I did lay not down, and reapeth where I did not sow. Wherefore, thou givest not thou my money into the bank, that thou may have, coming, I may have required my own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that had 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Lord, he had 10 pounds. For I say unto him, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and to him that hath not, every that hath shall be taken away from him. But those my enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither, and slay them before thee. Now, what's interesting is a lot of people read that parable, and they haven't got a clue. That's a parable, I believe, for the church age, because talk about pounds, right? There's another parable, remember, about talents. That's for Jews, but this is a good parable for believers. And obviously, he's talking about some stewardship here, and the Lord's coming back. We're going to have the kingdom come up here, and there's going to be some rewards. There's going to be some rewards and inheritance. We got to get that. You know, a lot of Christians believe, well, I'm saved, how, and that's the end of all. No. Saved is kind of the beginning, right? You're born again. Now that you're born again, now get in the Bible and see what the Lord has for you, right? You know, all that, get the more there. So here we have clearly the Lord dealing with people, and there we have responsibility. And as you grow in the Lord and mature as newborn babe, the desire to hear milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, and you get more and more knowledge and more responsibility, now we should be serving here. And what's interesting here in verse 27 says, but though my enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Well, he talked about the believers. Look at verse 14. It says here, but his citizens hated him and sent the message after him, saying, we will not have this man. So he's obviously those people that unsaved people there during time, they're the one that they're slaying, not the believers, you know. And the parable of the talents, those people go to hell. I mean, of the talents, yeah, they get thrown into hell because it's a work thing here. Here we are, we can lose some rewards. So it's very important that you understand that we can lose some rewards here. And Colossians chapter 3. Let me give you, as I build on this thought a little bit here, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. As I build out these rewards and things like this. Okay. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, it says here, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as of the Lord and not of the men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, what's interesting about that, look at the context. I'm not going into much detail here. Look, it starts here in verse number 18 with wives, and then husbands and children's, father, servants. You know, if you have, you could be a father and you could be a husband. You'd be a wife. You ought to know your role. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you're responsible, even your own role. And when you serve the Lord, knowing your role, and then it's for, because to please the Lord, everything else comes secondary, because then it comes focused on me. Well, I don't feel me. You see what I'm saying? It's not about you. It's, hey, I know there's inheritance here, so without a doubt, with opportunity comes responsibility. And it's a whole set of thinking that the world completely is against. How do you feel? Yeah, you treat it right. Hey, I got a role here. Hey, I'm a mother. I'm a wife. Hey, even children, they should, I'm going to do the best I can for the Lord. There's reward. And as they grow, there's reward here. No question about it. So without a doubt, this is the person that's in, North Korea. They ain't have opportunities we have. But you know what, though? They may be more responsible being a mother or a husband or a wife. We're not in America here. We have more opportunities or whatever, you know. So God works with you where you're at. He's in charge. You know, so he's keeping the records. So it's real important you understand this receiving reward of inheritance. I'm in the estate planning business. We have probably 5,000 clients easy. You know how many people, they have children. They're theirs, flesh and blood. But they ain't giving them inheritance. They're just rebellious kids. They don't get, they change. It's not equal. It all gets equal. Some ladies want to do that. Well, they're all my kids. A lot of people might go, no. So-and-so, he's living on the beach. Not at the beach, on the beach. And he's a spendthrift and he's on drugs. We're going to do something for him, whatever. That's what the way God's the same way on that, you know. You know, responsibility, you have opportunity. Now, look at this here in 1 Corinthians. I'm getting to this question, people ask about inheritance and rewards. In 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 14 says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he had built upon, he shall receive a reward. Amen? Look at verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. So without a doubt, there's a reward and there's a loss. But he himself shall be saved, it's about fire. So what's interesting is we have these fires going on in California. Hey, I don't know about you. I feel very sorry. Imagine losing your home. Hey, that's a bad deal. That's just a bad deal. But the two illustrations are on that. Number one is maybe don't hold too tight some physical possessions. They'd be gone like this. Amen? And you know what I also look at that as? They have those people go through there. All those fires of ashes. How is that going to be for the believer's judgment seat of Christ? All their works, they have nothing to show for it. They didn't lift a finger for Jesus Christ. Ain't that sad? I mean, that's terrible. So there's illustrations you give there, you know? What a terrible thing. It's all gone. They have nothing. Believer's life was about me, myself, I, make some money, feed my face, do all these things here, and you're the center. That's a lot of believers like that, especially in our Laodicea area here. So, hey, you know what, though? You're going to suffer loss. I mean this is important, because you know why? It's going to be a part of the millennial. That's why you got to look at the big picture. All right, real key. Let me get into the more here. A type of a cardinal Christian would be Esau. Okay, Esau, look here. Because of time, he sold his birthright in Genesis chapter 29. Now, you know what's interesting about that is he was kind of faint. And you know what? I kind of see him coming out of the woods from hunting. He's hungry and he's thirsty. And hey, man, you know, his brother a little conniver a little bit too, whatever. Hey, sell your birthright. That's part of the inheritance thing, you know. And it says here in verse 25 that Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. So he got satisfied. Maybe at first, you know what, though? I don't care about it. But then it says that thus Esau despised his birthright. After he was already satisfied. Hey, a dying man will drag a hold on to a double-edged sword. It'd be stronger, right? I remember going to Canada one year, way back when, back in the day when we were as young. We go to Quetico Providence Park where we went by canoes. We didn't have a few dollars today. We carry canoes. And I was just, I think, 18-year-old punk kid. And we were up partying night before. I was lost, you know. So I'm partying before, you know, which ain't good for your body, you know. And then we went in this canoe, and we traveled for hours to the first portage. Portage is a four-letter word, because you have to take your canoe on your back and go. And the first portage was 900 meters. You know how far 900 meters are with a canoe on your back? I mean, and so I'm dehydrated. Matter of fact, the guy went before, I was a novice. He goes, make sure you have a real cup. Everything you bring, you carry all these trips. And you have one good cup to put your water in there, and it'll make oatmeal for you. And I had it in my backpack, and I told my guy to give it to me. He threw it to me, hit the canoe, went in the water, sunk. So I'm like, oh, man, my cup at the very beginning dropped in the bottom of the lake. So I was using this Tupperware thing to drink. And I got back after 900 portage, and I got back. I was ravished. I can't tell you. You ever been real, real hungry and thirsty? Like, you're shaking almost, right? Probably the way Esau was. I mean, you know, I remember I had an apple. I literally ate that apple. I think I even ate the seeds. I think I threw away just the little core crumb. That's how hungry you were. So Esau was like that. But look at this here. It says here, and Esau, thus Esau despised his birthright. After the fact. Ain't that something? Because he didn't care about his inheritance. That's kind of a worldly Christian. In Hebrews 12:16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. He's putting Esau, who didn't care about his inheritance, as a fornicator and a profane person. See how God looks at things? A little different than we do. Amen. You know, what's what you says? I don't care what he says. What day the scripture? That's kind of an awakening thing. What he says, for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. They care about it. I know it though. I think if Esau goes, hey man, that was a bad deal. I'm sorry for my birthright, man. I repent. Lord, I might have worked him differently. But he despised it after he was refreshed. And that's a kind of a Christian, a worldly Christian. Like, heck with a millennial. I live for the now. I don't care. That's what we have a lot going on today. So just want to make that point, how our attitude on these things will affect our millennial. I'll get to it a little later, how important it is. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, 1-11. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's our body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, designed to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that we being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Think over there. For we that are in his tabernacle to groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon the mortality might be swallowed up of life, that he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing as God, who also had given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. These are believers, folks. And he's associating it with nakedness and being clothed. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that had whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. So you know what though? God is associating what you do with kind of way we're clothed. You know, it's interesting. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ hung naked for us on the cross. Think about that. The God of God hung naked and was shamed for us at the end. Ain't that something? Hey, you know, forget about that. We just forget about the King of Kings. And Lord. That was a humiliating thing. Think about that, right? You know, nailed to a tree, shed his blood and suffered. You know what that? American Christians forget about that. A dying sacrifice for us. Well, you know what says in Romans 12? We should be a living sacrifice. You see that? You see that there? He was a dying sacrifice for us, naked, shameful. And in Romans 12, what does it say? What is your reasonable service? You know, that the Lord, a willing sacrifice. And you know what, though? That's important. So he ended up naked, and you know what? Well, do nothing Christian in that way in shame. See that there, you know? Now standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, or are we going to bear our nakedness later? We're going to do it now or later. See about that, something? And what kind of puts that associated with kind of shameful and naked? You know, another good illustration of that would be, let's say, for example, today, here I am. I'm going to get a $200 million lottery. I hate the word lottery, but tomorrow, okay? Hey, folks, I'm going to get a $200 million lottery today. But you know what? I need $100 today. If you give me $100 today, any one of you, I'll give you $1 million tomorrow. How many would give me $100 today? Come on now. You'd be lying. You'd be fighting up here, right? That's exactly what the Lord says, man. Hey, man, give me 70 right now. For a great long inheritance. You see that? You see that? Get that? Hey, you line up here. For sure. Hey, man. Hey, just give me a little bit here. Which is your reasonable service? For something way big down here, I'll get the money right here. That's what we need to think about that. You see that, folks? That's what, you know, but we're this fleshly thing, and we just really can't see that. Okay, now, now we're getting into the people group. I wanted to show that to you because that's where we are. We can get inheritances and we can get awards and reigning and serve with the Lord. We won't miss that stuff. Don't miss that at all. So getting now to the people group, here we are. There's the first people group. It's us. Now, in the first people group here, we're the body of Christ, and we have glorified bodies. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Ain't that cool? For we shall see him as he is. When the Lord comes, we come with him. Revelation 19:13-4, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. Maybe if we're naked, we can be following him over there. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling him to go into heaven, but though, if you're naked, where's your garment at? You get that? Pastor Hoffman says that. Hey, where's your garment at? You're saved, you're born again, but you know what though? If you're not willing to fight the battle down here, you're gonna fight the battle later. You see that? I mean, just gotta see how why God puts those words in the scripture. I mean, naked and ashamed, and it's kind of tied all together. Just give me something to think about here. You know, you gotta look at that scripture here. You know, and the enemies which were in heaven fouled upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. This is where we return to reign. And hey, you know what though? A lot of times the military, what do all people have? They were in the military. All the badges they have and all that stuff, you know, they you know what I mean? The Lord, just there's a little bit of truth to all that stuff. You don't want to be, you want to have a white raiment and come back with the Lord, man. I want to come back, and as they come through that Israel there, Jerusalem there, whatever, you know, on that gate, I want to be able to kick maybe one of those Muslim graveyards over, whatever, I don't know. Whatever, you know, they have all the Muslim graveyards. I've been there to Israel, right there in the Eastern Gate where they come through. It's all sealed there, and there's all those Muslim graveyards, and there's some, you know, they want to make sure the first ones to get the first deal, you know, judgment, you know. But just showing you how what the Lord says there for the first people group here. Now, like our work on earth now for the Lord, it is manifested and rewarded in the millennial. This is a dressing room for a millennial and maybe the eternity too. Get that? What we do down here as born again believers, it is a dressing room. Now, this is real important. Get this here. We, our believers, are the only one in glorified bodies. You understand that? Every single other people don't have glorified bodies. I'm going to cover that. I'm going to show you how what happens. People die. I'm going to go through all that. So we are the only ones that have glorified bodies. That's pretty cool. They don't have, people know what the average person thinks in Christianity. Oh, you're saved. You're like, oh, we are here. That's not true at all. There's no way. That's no Bible. That's why they can't put the Bible together. They think, oh, the Old Testament people are like we are, and people are saved the same way in tribulation. But that's nothing to do with it. I'll get to the purpose of that, and that's how the Bible fits together like a glove when you understand some of these things here. You know, hey, who are the people, the structure? The structure changes. The people change. Everything's changing here. This is a book of change, you know? So you got to get that here. Now, let me finish up here a little bit here, just a few more here. It seems that if Adam and Eve have not sinned, remember, they were made in the image of God, right? They were. They lost the image, or Adam did, Eve in Genesis 5, right? That's why you hear these people, we're all made in the image of God. Well, that's not true. We're made in the image of Adam. I had this big professor from Bob Jones University. He's trying to promote his thing here, and he made that fact, and I want to bear support a little guy, you know, and for people saw you in the bathroom, I go, hey, you know what, we're not made in the image of God, we're made in the image of Adam. I show them, we know what to say. See, their thought in their school, doctor's degrees this year, you know, look at the Bible. That's just, that goes on, that's typical. That's unfortunate, you know. Anyways, remember, they were made in the image of God, sinless. They would have had physical children, right, if they have not sinned and built the kingdom of heaven. That's why the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, are so important to understand how that fits into here. If they had not fallen, it seems they would have gotten their eternal life from the tree of life, and they would have forever be physical bodies producing sinless children. You would not have to be taken. Those children have to take from the tree of life. I'll get to that later. Which would have then physical life, eternal life. There'd be no death, no pain in childbirth, no sickness, no disease. And that kingdom would then go into eternity. That's what originally seemed like the original plan if you had the whole Bible in your hand. You know, you're reading the beginning, like, what's going on here? When you read the whole Bible, it kind of fits like a glove. Well, that's what kind of happened. It seemed like what had happened, you know? As God's spiritual children today, we are reproducing people spiritually for the kingdom of God. They were born physically back then. They fell. We witness people. We're fighting a spiritual warfare, right? So spiritual back then was a physical thing. Where will all people go forever and ever? Well, I'm going to cover it later. If this happens again, where people go? I'm going to cover that. Through eternity. Where happens in millennial goes to eternity. That's kind of interesting. I mean, like, wow, look how God put it all here. It's kind of going to be repeat like it was back in the Garden of Eden back then. There were only with no Satan, no fall. We'll cover that a little later. Okay. We are the sons of God, and the Lord Jesus lives inside. We battle with this old nature, amen, every day. Maybe not for long. Maybe 2025 is the day we're out of here. And if it is, you'll know what's going to be happening. You want to make sure you get some inheritances, rewards, you're reigning, got your white robe. I mean, it's important to understand some of those things. And I know they cover it a little here, but it's good to have a refresher of it. You know why? Because the key to learning is a repetition. Again, if you're like, I figure people like me, I'm slow, I'm polished and slow. I got to hear it again and again and again. Some people get like this. You know, some people got these minds. I had a guy I went to school with, his name was Mario Forieri. Mike Hare knows him. The guy ended up being a doctor. He's super smart. You know what I mean? I'm not bought with smartness. And this guy here, Mario, he could hear a piano piece or hear a classical piece and play it like that. To me, that's a miracle. I mean, one time he's playing this piece by John Williams. It's like 15 minutes. Beautiful. And I go, where'd you learn that? I learned it today. I heard it today. I learned it like that. He'd hear a piece of music, no notes, sit on the piano and play it. Now, Jenny, I don't know if you know that. That's pretty, are you in votes there? But if you imagine just playing like by here, that's someone way smarter than I am. I mean, I'll be honest, they have a gift that I don't have. I mean, he's playing this thing here, and I'm getting to, you know, learn and go through doctor's medical school, no problem, because he has that smartness. Me, I got to hear it again and again and again and again. So I'm hoping if you hear it again and again, you pick them out and go, I see how that works now. That makes sense when I read the scripture here now. Now, maybe some believers believe that Jesus Christ will go back to the Godhead. He came for a purpose, right? Die for us. I think we need it again in the future. And we, as sons of God, are in fact kind of his place, maybe reigning over these planets and Adam and Eve. I mean, he's back. He died again and again, like Catholics, you know. And now we are reigning over people only with no fall, because the devil is thrown away in Revelation 22. So you get some of that. I'm not saying that's true, but something to think about. Well, what happens? Now, something to consider. Revelation. And the last thing I'll close here, I haven't even got to a group of people yet. Revelation 22:14, it reads, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Now, most scholars or pastors have no clue what to do this verse. They, if you ask that person, you're a fundamentalist, it's a mistranslation. And almost all modern Bibles change it because they're thinking that we're saved looking forward to the back, looking forward to the cross and all that stuff and all that, covenant theology, which is really kind of, what it does is it kills your desire to do things for the Lord and witnessing and to get some inheritance. It's really kind of a bad doctrine, you know. And so they change this verse. Because people have to do his commandments. And that's what's going to happen. And that's a very important understanding how people get their eternal life through the millennial reign. Understand, it's a works thing. And that doesn't fit into the narrative of the average Calvinist or an evangelical or fundamentalist or name whatever. It doesn't fit there. Here's a round hole, there's a square, they don't fit. So I'm going to skip it. It's like they skip the eight chapters in Ezekiel, chapter 40, 48, you'll never hear him preach on this. They can't. What do you do about a temple, eight chapters of building a temple again? Oh, it's spiritual. What happened? They can't understand it. See, that's why it's important, though, the whole Bible, what's going on, which I'm going to get to the detail. Okay, I'll cover one more. Second group of people here. And all these people I cover now, our natural bodies. Got to get that. Every other people group here, they all have natural bodies. These are people who I call the judgment of nations or the Jeep group. Matthew chapter 25, 32-36. It says here, "And before him shall be gathered all nations." It's kind of called the judgment of nations. "And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me." These are people here that helped the Jews in tribulation. You get that? So this group of people here are the people that help out the Jews in tribulation. And that was going on even in World War II. There are people that were sympathetic to the Jews, and they helped them. That's a picture of what's happened then. So this is another group of people here, and these people will go into from tribulation here in the millennium in their natural bodies. Get that? So we're going to be in our glorified bodies at the rapture. These people, group number two, were sympathetic to the Jews. I didn't take the mark, and they go into millennial reign. And I'm going to show you later on how all these people would happen to millennial reign. Okay, I got to stop here because I'm never going to get into the other ones. Next time, we're going to cover the Jews in the nation. There's subcategories there, and I'm tied all together. You can go, wow, I can see exactly what's happening here, how God's plan of ages laid out, how he has it laid out in our book right here, if we just believe it and rightly divide it. It's a pretty amazing thing, and it should motivate the saint, you know, because we're always about focusing about, well, what are we doing? It's remember, I gave you the illustration about, hey, give you $100, get $1 million later. You know what I mean? I mean, this is right here, the key thing. Okay, any questions, comments? Throwing some ideas up here, get you thinking, amen? All right, Father in heaven, thank you for, I think, a pretty exciting thing, not a good Bible here on the millennial, not talked about a lot because people don't understand it or don't really know it, but I think it's a very great motivating factor for the saint of God to be able to serve thee, Lord, and get focused on the big picture, Lord, and it can be coming soon. So thank you very much for the opportunity to be able to open up your word and look at these things and contemplate them and study it out, Father. I pray now for the church service getting ready to begin with sing some hymns and be able to offer what we had during the week. And I pray for Pastor Hoffman as he opens up the word of God. May he fall on good ground and our lives be changed in any way they can be, Father. And we thank you and praise you in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.